Matthew chapter 10. Whew, man, this is my wheelhouse. You know, out of all the weeks of the year that I could come in and be a guest preacher for you guys, when you have so many great preachers, you got Lucas over there, he's a theologian, you know, you got Pastor Kevin, you got other great preachers and teachers in the church, and here's me, you know, the simple guy, because I'm a simple guy. And I've watched Nacho Libre, you know, 28 times, I think. So it's like ingrained in me. I'm a simple man. And so, you know, Lucas, I can't teach Lucas the Bible. But I'm here preaching to you today. And it's such an honor. So I just thank you for allowing me to, you know, to exhort you today. Because it's an important day. It's a day for miracles. It's a year for miracles. And it's the year of the testimony. You know what's funny about Pastor Mike saying this is the year of the testimony? In early December with my leaders, Mike and Janelle Friedrich can even attest to this. They've heard it come out of my mouth. What did I say 2023 was going to be? The year of what? The year of the testimony. It is time for testimonies. All around. It's the year of the testimony. So God speaks everywhere if you're willing to hear and apply. And last week it was inspired. You know, the first week of the miracle series, and I got to name this sermon today, so I told Pastor Mike, I know what the name of it is. It's activated. Today is about activation. You can be inspired all day long, but there's a time when you have to activate. Just like if you want to be a real estate agent, you go take real estate classes, and you want to make money in real estate, you know, after you've taken the course, what do you got to do? You got to activate. You got to go work now. You got to go apply the teachings that you got in real estate school.
That's right.
And it's the same for any physical therapy school. If you're going to be a physical therapist, if you go to nursing school and you're going to be a nurse, you can go know everything there is to know about nursing. But if you don't ever go get a job and become a nurse, then you don't apply the very teachings that were taught to you. And yet Jesus took us through the school of discipleship. He took his disciples through it. He takes us through it. See, we are still going through the school of discipleship. Do you not know that?
Yeah.
And as we go through the school of discipleship, it's not just so that we can get spiritually constipated. And you become a 500 spiritually fat Christian. 500 spiritual pounds. That's not what it's about. It's about you staying healthy and lean spiritually. And now you stay healthy and lean spiritually, you become a vessel of honor. You become like a big fat PVC pipe for heaven. And you let the Spirit of God go through you. You don't get fat and stop it up on both ends so you can have it all and have all this knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and you keep it in your own house and you just, I love Jesus and we love Jesus and, you know, it's all good here, but you don't spread the word. You're not activated. So how do you get activated? Before I read the scripture today, I want to tell you how I got activated when I was 35 years old. And I wish, you know, I can't change the past. I can't change the 35 years before that. But what I do know is that in January of 2001, 22 years ago, when I got invited to Randall Jones' house, who was a deacon at the First Baptist Church of Round Rock, Texas, and I go to Randall Jones' house, and I get ministered to, and Randall and his wife Pat and a couple of their ministry team members, you know, took me through freedom, and I got set free from demonic oppression, from fear, anger, and addictions, and so much fear, and all kinds of other stuff. Just sexual perversion, lots of stuff. After I got set free, there was something that I just did that I didn't really know anything about. I was green as a gourd. I was like a babe in Christ. I'd only been a Christian for a year and a half. But Randall says now, he walks toward me and said, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon you now. And I see him putting out his hand. He's walking toward me, and that hand starts coming toward me. And before the hand ever touched me, I heard his words, and I saw the hand. And right before he touched me, all of a sudden, power hit me. So he barely had to do anything because he didn't push me over. But all of a sudden, my hands start shaking, and I felt like electricity was going through both the palm of my hands. And it ran up through my shoulders and down my feet and my head, and all of a sudden, I'm just shaking. And it's like the glory of God has got a hold of me. And I'm just have this roaring laughter. And I can't stop laughing. I can't mimic that for you today because I don't know how to repeat that laugh on that night. But I remember it vividly. And then the Holy Spirit took me to the ground. And I'm laying on the floor. And I'm just roaring in laughter. And I remember having my eyes closed, and I could just, all I could do was sense the glory of God and the presence of God so powerfully, but that it was like, I remember telling myself, I don't want to leave this place. I just want this to keep going. And you know God doesn't do that, because he does it for a purpose, so you can be activated.
Yes.
And I tried to get up twice, and something pushed me back down on the floor and pinned me down. I guess it was an angel, I would assume. And finally I got up, though. But here's the thing. When I got up, the important part about that was this. I stood up, and I'll never forget verbatim, I remember these thoughts. Wow, now I know what it's like to be Peter, who once denied Jesus 3 times. How do you walk with Jesus 24/7 for 3 years and then deny him? When you haven't been inspired yet. When the Holy Spirit hasn't breathed the breath of life into you and endued you with power from on high. And all of a sudden it happened to me, and I realized, wow, I now know how Peter felt, but now I know how Peter feels. That you can cut my head off and I will not deny Jesus. And from that day forward, I was activated. And I was in the game. I took the course and I was in the game. And I went out and started getting after it. And I'm going to tell you the first testimony, and then get to scripture. The first testimony that I ever had was immediately, I'm in the prayer closet, and some of you have heard this testimony before, but many of you haven't. At 8:30 in the morning, I'm praying, and God says, I want you to get up and get out of your closet and go call Susie Davenport and tell her you want to pray for her, because I'm going to heal her of cancer today. And she was 2.5 hours away. And so I got up out of my closet, went and grabbed the phone, and I said, hey, Susie, I just got out of my closet. God told me that I'm going to drive 2.5 hours down there today, and he's going to heal you of cancer. Is that okay? No, I didn't say that. You don't do that. What I did is I called Susie. Hey, Susie, this is Danny. How you doing? How are you and Mike? Blah, blah, blah. And small talk. And hey, me and Diane were just thinking, we'd love to drive down, you know, to see you and Mike today and just spend some time with you. And we really want to pray for you, you know, and just pray with you guys. Is that okay? She goes, yes, y'all come down. And that's how we did it. On the way down, so I'm going to try to go fast with this because I got more stories. 2.5 hours drive, exit, right, to take Susie and Mike's exit about 30 miles outside of San Antonio. And there's an HEB, large grocery store. If you're from Texas, you know there's no grocery store like HEB. So it's like everything's bigger and better in Texas, right? So in case, you'd have to walk in HEB to know it. You know, it's just like there's nothing on earth that compares to an HEB grocery store. I've been to Ralph's, I've been to all of them. But anyhow, God said, spoke to me as I'm driving, exiting. I pull over and go buy a bottle of olive oil. Now this is the babe, Danny. I'm a babe in Christ. I'm like a baby. I don't know. I'm not Lucas. I don't know what olive oil means. You know, Lucas probably knows what strain of olives were used to make the olive oil. You know, that was poured on Jesus' head. You know, but I don't know these things. And so, anyway, I go into HEB, buy olive oil, and Diane says, "What are we doing?" I'm obeying God. And we get out to the car. He says, now, y'all pray for this oil. I'm going to anoint it. So I said, Diane, lay your hand, or put it on the console. Diane, lay your hands on this oil. We're going to pray for it, and God's going to anoint it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches you all things. And we anoint this oil, having not known what oil does. And now we go to Susie's, and really fast forward, we spent the day with Susie, and we prayed for her, and God, she had a 2-pound tumor in her stomach, size of a grapefruit, and God shrunk it, and it's gone, and it's still gone today. It's never come back. So, that was the first story, and I told you the first story because I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to pray for people. I didn't know about oil, any of those things, but all I knew is I took the course. I'd been in Bible study since I got saved in 1998. I had a small group of men, you know, that had grown to about 40 men, and we were just like studying the Word every week and crying out for more. And then I got set free, and then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God, boom, He activated me and said, it's time to go do the work of the ministry, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. Are you ready to get activated? Okay. So, Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus had the 12, He'd just taken them through the school of discipleship. And if you don't know what that is, the school of discipleship is Matthew 5 through 9. And then in That was his training and teaching. So all the 12 had been in class. And now they're done with class. Because Jesus said, it's time to put you out to work. And so in verse 5 it picks up and it says, but he said, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So now he's activating them right now. And now, here's what I never thought about until lately. Who's seen season 3 of The Chosen? Everybody who's seen season 3 of The Chosen already knows what I'm talking about right now. But for those of you who haven't seen season 3 of The Chosen, I'm telling you guys, watch season 3 as fast as you can. It is some of the most inspiring, impactful cinematography of Christian life that's ever been put together. It is so powerful. It is anointed. And me and my wife, the last couple of weeks, watched all of the first five of them, I think, that are out. And, you know, and it depicts the time where Jesus, where they're in Peter's house. And I don't want to give it all away, but just a little bit about how he had them all around. And he's telling them this, he's quoting this to them. What I never thought about was, I want you to think about right now is, like, imagine them hearing that. You're going to go, and here's what all you're going to do. And by the way, I'm not going with you. I'm going this way. I'm going to go pray and be with the Father. Can you imagine the apprehension? They're like, what? Come again? You know, like, remember Nacho? For those of you, I mean, it's an old movie, but still, you know. Come again? What? So, think about this disciple thing. But he's going like, guys, I just took you through the course. I've been discipling you for 6 months. I've given you everything I've got. Now you're going to go teach them everything that I've taught you, and I'm going to anoint you with power, and you're going to do these things. So go do it. It's powerful when you think about that. And so he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you or hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And Jesus goes on. If you read the rest of Matthew 10, he's saying some hard things. He's saying, you know, expect tribulation, expect persecution. Here's what's going to happen. And then he goes on to say at the end of Matthew 10, before he sends them out, in verse 37, he says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Let me repeat that. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. 35 years ago in January of 2001, I lost my life. I got up off that ground after I was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I lost my life. I realized my life was not my own. And it was time for me to take what I'd learned to the streets. It was time for me to take it to the highways and byways, to take it into the marketplace, to take it everywhere I went. Wherever I go, there's hurting people, lost people, afflicted people, people who need prayer. And I've been doing that for 21 years, not perfectly. You know, I'm not the superhero of Christian evangelist or faith healers or whatever, you know, any title you would want to put on me. I'm none of those things. I'm a simple guy. I trust Jesus, and I'm willing to go. Have I disobeyed God? Absolutely. Probably so. There's a lot of times when I should have done this and I didn't, or he totally whispered this and I didn't do it. But for 21 years, this is what I've been doing. And everybody I pray for doesn't fall out flat, and they don't all start going like this and then fall out. And I don't worry about it. But I've seen blind eyes opened. I've seen deaf ears opened. I've seen metal dissolve in people's bodies. I've seen scoliosis spine straightened out. I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miraculous dudamus type things, and it happened without me touching them and them falling back. And I'm not against that, but I'm just saying that doesn't hurt my confidence. So if I lay hands on you and you don't shake and quake and fall on your back, I'm not thinking I don't have enough power right now. I'm not a good enough hands layer on her. Because only, you know, she, every time she prays for somebody, they just fall out. It's like, I can't be her. So you see, it's a comparison thing. And you just gotta be you. Because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. And when he anointed you, He anointed you to do this right here, just what He was talking about, to go and to go in twos. And it's powerful. You know, I'll give you a few testimonies out of my testimony book. You know, I'll never forget Rick the hairdresser, who was a hairdresser for this megachurch pastor, where this megachurch we were going to at the time. And I got to know Rick, him and his wife, and he came to our house to get set free. And what he confessed to me when he came to the house to get set free, he said, when I was a teenager, I made a covenant with the devil and I joined a satanic cult and I made a blood covenant, cut my arm open, and we did a whole blood covenant. And he goes, I got saved a few years ago, but he goes, I just don't feel worthy. He goes, the devil always tells me I'm his and I can't, you know, I'm really not a Christian and all these things. And so I started praying for Rick to get set free, and I'm sitting right across from him, just like, you know, just like this. Just right here, close to Pastor Mike, and I'm looking him in the eyes, and I start saying, okay, you demons have to come out of him in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden his eyes started getting blood red, because he had been a Satanist. So it's a different kind of demon. You know, it's not just a spirit of fear, it's a different entity. His eyes got blood red, and he started getting this like rage like you'd see on the X-Men movie. And just, you know, that, and this growl, heard a growl coming up out of his chest. And all of a sudden he starts moving toward me, and the eyes were just as red as red can be. And in an instant I realized I'm about to get attacked, or Jesus is about to take over. And so I didn't run. I just said, in the name of Jesus, I said in the name of Jesus, Beelzebub, come out of him. I didn't have any training on names of spirits. I wasn't a Beelzebub expert. I just knew at that moment, Jesus, the Holy Spirit spoke for me in that moment. And I said, Beelzebub, come out of him in the name of Jesus. And he just spit up blood, and blood came out on the carpet. And then three more demons came out of him, and then he was laying on the floor like a dead man. That's in the Bible too, by the way. When someone got delivered, when Jesus cast spirits out of him, they looked as if they were dead, because it took all the power out of him. So Rick got healed, and Rick took it to his pastor. His pastor, our megachurch pastor, didn't like that too much. That's a different story. He didn't want to lose offerings. That's the story. He didn't want all of that Jesus. He just wanted a little bit of Jesus. Enough to make the church grow. Okay, so the next one was, I'll never forget Terry Ray. You know, I was on business trips. Doesn't matter where you go. Business, I mean, ministry is ministry everywhere. You know, if you're a minister, you're a minister because you're a minister. So I'm a businessman, but I'm a minister. That's what I am first. But I'm in business, and I'm with this guy, Terry Ray, and his wife in Tennessee at their house one night, because I've been with them all weekend working, and we're just having an intimate moment at the kitchen table. And Terry, you know, he's a country boy from Tennessee, and he's, I'm about to turn 39, and he goes, my daddy died of a heart attack when I was 39. My uncle died of a heart attack. Or I think it was his brother. I had a brother. My brother died of a heart attack, and that's coming back. My brother died of a heart attack when he's 39, and I'm about to turn 39. I'm scared it's going to happen to me. And I just stopped and went, Terry, and I laid my hand on him, started praying for him. I broke every generational curse over his life, prayed for healing of his heart, didn't feel a thing. And then I take my hand off of him. He goes, what'd you do? He goes, what was that? I go, I don't know. I just prayed for you. He goes, no, what was that fire? What was that heat? He goes, it was like 300 and something degrees on my heart. He goes, my heart was burning like fire. And I go, well, I didn't feel anything, Terry. So God just healed your heart, brother. You're not going to die when you're 39 years old. See, you just get activated. You don't worry about what kind of heat's coming through your hand or whether someone's shaking and quaking and they fall back on their back. You just do it out of being obedient. You just be obedient and let Jesus take care of the rest. I'll never forget Nikki Holmes. We were at a major convention, probably 14,000 people at that convention. And she'd been hearing the testimonies and hearing the stories. And she was in our organization. And she pulls me aside at the conference and she's crying. And I can see her face. I can see the tears. And she says, I've got cancer in my neck. She goes, will you pray for me? Well, she's from Illinois. She knew she had one chance, just like the woman with the issue of blood. She had one chance. We didn't have Zoom back then. And so I pulled Nikki aside, and I violated every rule of ministry. You know, getting behind a column with a woman, you know, at a stadium, like a concrete pillar, and I don't care. I mean, I'm not wild about it, but there's times when there's exceptions to all rules. And I pulled Nikki behind that column, and I laid my hands on her neck and prayed for her, and God immediately healed her cancer. And she never had cancer again in her neck. She got to raise her children. I'll never forget TJ Maddox and Josh Jamieson. Just this past summer, we were on our mission trip, and TJ and Josh Jamieson were praying for this. We were in the men's rehab praying for all these guys that had these addictions, and TJ and Josh were praying for this one guy, and he was 60 years old. And I glance over, and this guy starts convulsing, foaming at the mouth, and stuff's coming off down his lip. And that's not normal. Doesn't happen very often. So I knew something's going on. And I went and grabbed my phone. This is the first time in 21 years I ever grabbed my phone to record something. And I went and grabbed my phone, and I started recording TJ and Josh as they're praying for this guy. And after it was over, you know what happened is, as the interpreter came and interpreted for TJ and Josh, the guy said, I just got healed. He goes, God just healed me of epilepsy. He goes, you don't know this, because they didn't, there was a language barrier. He said, 20 years ago, I had a coconut fall out of a palm tree and hit me on the head, and I've had epilepsy ever since. And God just healed me of my epilepsy. That was the convulsing and the foam coming out of his mouth. And who was it? It was TJ Maddox and Josh Jamieson doing the work of the ministry. Why? Because they were activated. They are already inspired. They got inspired by the Holy Spirit. But now they're in week two. It's activation, baby. And they're willing to do it. So you can too. You know, there's something about going in twos, by the way. I think it's in here. And Jesus established going in twos for a reason. One, so you'd have faith and courage and wisdom to be with someone when you're ministering to them and seeing what God will do. That's why campus ministry is so powerful, because campus ministers go in twos and they minister to people and see great things happen on the college campus, just like you even heard last week. I love the story of this couple, Al and Amy Ryan, who just a couple of months ago were... I'm doing a conference in Oklahoma, and we're ministering to all these people that wanted to be healed and delivered from demonic oppression. And this one guy, he actually was a keyboard player in the church, and he came up to get prayed for. And Al and Amy, this couple out of Portland, had flown down because they're ministry partners of ours, Al and Amy were praying for this young man, and he got healed. He had been blind in his right eye his whole life, and he got healed. His right eye, he got his sight in his right eye. So the next day on Sunday, he's giving his testimony at church that his first time he can see out of his right eye. And it was, and Al and Amy, you know, they would tell you if they were here today, this is all new to us. You know, we've just gotten activated. But we can't stop, we can't deny what's going on in our life, and we can't deny what Jesus is telling us to do, so they just do it in faith. Amen. I'll never forget little Douglas de Nascimento at our church about 7 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. You know, Doug was in middle school, and his father, Doug, one day after church, brought him to the front and said, Pastor Danny, will you pray for Dougie? You know, he's got metal in his knee where he had this knee injury, and he's got pins in his knees, and I'm believing that God's going to dissolve that metal in my son's knees right now. And I go, well, Doug, let's pray right now, because I'll be in agreement with you. And we prayed for little Dougie, put hands on Doug's knee, and you know, he started shaking, and it actually hit the roof, you know, and you know, he was bouncing all over the room, you know, like a little incredible, and all of a sudden he was healed. No. It didn't happen that way. We put our hands on his knees, seeing no physical evidence of fire from heaven come out of our fingers or anything like that. But we prayed the prayer of faith. And you know what? He went and got x-rays, and little Dougie, all the metal dissolved in his knee. Gone. I'll never forget about 2.5 years ago. A young man that I've known since he was a kid, since he was in third grade, named Hayden, came and very close friends with his parents. And his dad was a deacon in our church. Brought his son, we were having a meeting, like a staff meeting, like churches do all the time. I see him come in the door, and he knocks on the door, he's looking for me, he says, "Will you come out here?" He goes, "There's something wrong with Hayden." And we go into the lobby, sit down with Hayden, and Hayden's catatonic. I'd never seen a catatonic person in my whole life. Like, have you ever seen someone like totally just stiff and like their eyes don't move, they can't talk or anything like that? Has anybody ever seen a person like that? It was wild. Like a dead man walking, a zombie. It was weird. And what had happened, as quick as I can tell this story, Hayden, in his lifetime, had had 3 different exposures to suicide, to actual suicides that had taken place. But the third one had just happened days before, about 5 days before, in their RV park. And because they were managing an RV park. And so Hayden had heard a gunshot early one morning. And he walked out of their RV and went to where he heard the gunshot was and opened the door of the man's RV, and the man had blown his head off. And he was the first one on the scene. And so then he calls the cops and all that kind of stuff. Well, what had happened was, those, you know, when someone dies, you know, that's those demons of depression and suicide and darkness, they leave that person. They're done. They accomplished their mission. They're looking for another body. Guess who they found? They found Hayden and came into Hayden. And they started locking his body up where he was just catatonic. The dad, this is an important story, because here's why it's so important. Pastor Mike mentioned mental health, you know, last week. Because if you don't do something about it, the world will turn them into zombies. Because they just went to the doctor that morning. It was a Monday morning. And the doctor said he has some kind of seizure disorder. Here's some medications. If things don't change, you know what the next step is? They're going to put him in a mental institution. That's the next step. And then when they go in the mental institution, they fry his brain and put him on drugs for the rest of his life, and he's a zombie, when it was never a chemical problem. It was a spiritual issue.
That's right.
And so we had to fight that for about 4 hours. Me and my associate pastor and my intercessor, Jackie. And praise God for Jackie. But we're going after these spirits. His dad's slapping him. And he didn't know who I was. He didn't know who anybody was. Didn't know about our church. It was weird. But finally, I got tired of fighting. Because I was going hoarse. It was like, I know these are demons of suicide and depression and all that. And I'm going hoarse. So here's what I did. I pulled his daddy out of the... We went into this little glass room, and I pulled his daddy out of the room we're in, and I said, "Look, let me tell you something, James." I looked him in the eye, and I said, "You know what? You're a champion." And I go, "You're more than a conqueror in Christ." And I go, "You know what? You're his dad." I go, "The devil's trying to kill your son right now. And he's in that room like a zombie right now, and the devil's trying to kill him. And you know what you're going to do? You're about to go in that room, and you're going to cast the devil out of your son, because you have more authority over your son than I do. You have more authority over your son than anybody besides himself. And you're going to root the devil out of him right now. And you're going to do it because you got Jesus in you. Are you ready?" And I said, like, I believe in you. Are you ready?" He said, "Yeah, let's go." And James went in there and put his hand on his son's shoulder and started telling the devil to get out of his son in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, Hayden, "Hey, it's Pastor Danny. Pastor Cody.
Come on.
Where are you at, Hayden? Bethel, Dallas. Everything, and then over the next 2 or 3 days, it took him a few days to get back to normal, but then he gets back to normal. Yeah. That's Jesus. That's what he wants to do. There's nothing weird about it. There's nothing goofy about it. There's nothing strange about it. It's the same exact context. It's the same exact application. Today as it was then. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This book is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Discipleship is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Inspiration was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Activation was the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same. Nothing has changed. You can't reinvent the model that Jesus came to earth to teach and train and activate with. You can't change that.
That's right.
So the question is, will we get involved in that? Yeah. That's the question. Are you going to get in the game? But I'll tell you what you have to do. You got to change your thinking, which is repentance. You know, some of you may want to repent, and that's okay. So it's not, I'm not beating on you. It's just what we do. I mean, I repent. I repent of things. Me and Diane have been fasting since January 1st, and we've just been repenting for different ways. We might have disappointed God or been disobedient to Him, and it's just what you do as a mature Christian. So when I say it's time for somebody to repent, don't take that negatively. Just take it from experience that I'm trying to help you. I care about you. But some of you may need to repent for your thinking, you know, being limited. Because it's like some of you are still holding an old skeleton key. You know, Jesus said, I'll give you the key. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16 when Peter said, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God? You know, he said, you're exactly right, and you know, and he encouraged him, but then he tells all the disciples, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what Jesus was saying is, guys, when you go out, you're going to have the key. I give you the keys. The same keys that the Father gave me, I'm giving you. And it's the keys to the kingdom, and that key is the name of Jesus. It's always the keys of the kingdom have always been the power of the name of Jesus. The key was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But some of you have, metaphorically, are working with a skeleton key. Just like if it was medieval times and you're opening up the dungeon, and you know it's ancient. They don't use skeleton keys anymore. And some of you still have a key like an old Motel 6 card, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, or a Holiday Inn, you know, that hard plastic card with a key hanging off of it, you know, and open up your motel room with a key. Well, you know, the only room it can open is room, that specific room, 102 or 107 or 235. You know, every room needs a different key. But you don't need a different key. We all have the same key. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
But you've got to come up higher. You got to come up higher in your thinking today. It's time to get out of the, you know, the antiquated thinking of how your Christian life should be. That, you know, you just go to church, you hear a good sermon, and you go to some Bible studies, and you get some spiritual growth, and you just hold on to it, and hope that life gets better. And that everything around you turns out okay and your family turns out okay and you're going to go to heaven because you love Jesus. It's more than that. You should be wanting to be a spiritual PVC pipe. You should be wanting to be a conduit for the Lord Jesus Christ. But many of us are spiritually fat, including me. I'm preaching to myself today. We get spiritually fat because we're not a pipe. We're stopped up pipes. Because everything we've been eating and, you know, everything we've been grabbing, it's all good and it tastes great. But you know, we're capped off, because you know why we're capped off? Because we're not activated. And everything that we're learning never goes out. And you've got to have an outlet. And the only way you're going to have an outlet is if you allow yourself to be activated. And you go. And you go in faith and you do it. You know, you can believe all day long, but you have to have faith. Even the demons believe. But real belief, you know, faith is belief in action. It's taking that little bit. And I know the scriptures, I know what the definition of faith is, but I'm just telling you in simple terms, faith is really belief in action. is doing something with what you believe. And it's time for all of us to do something with what we believe and go share it with the world and move with compassion and help others who are harassed and afflicted and believe that God can work miracles through you. And it's not about you being a miracle worker. It's about God being the miracle worker. And you'll be amazed at how doors open for people to get saved because they see miracles. This is how it's been happening for 2,000 years. And God's he's anointed you with His Spirit to do that. And it's just like coming up higher. I'm going to pull out this hotel car key, Fairfield Marriott. And I don't know which Fairfield Marriott this is because I'm not staying in one this weekend. But it was in my bag. But what I do know is when I checked in at the Fairfield Marriott, it's probably the one down the road here, maybe, from this summer. But whenever it was, you know, they stuck it in a little key thing and created a frequency. And they created a frequency to open up my room that was assigned. And it might have been room 406. And then they handed it to me and said, Mr. McDaniel, room's 406. And so I know now that I'm headed to room 406. And in faith, by faith, I know what? That when I wave this little thing over room 406, I'm going to hear like, I'm going to hear hardware move. Hardware. Like physical hardware move without being touched. Because I trust this card. And you don't trust Jesus in you? You don't trust the God of heaven inside of you with His frequency?
Let's go.
That you don't even have to touch Him, but just as you get close, the kingdom is coming near you and that frequency is going to heal their heart. It's going to heal their fear. They're going to get delivered from all these things. Because His card never ends. See, this does not work, by the way. I can't get into any room at any Fairfield in town today with this. It's invalid. And you got greater keys than that. You trust the keys in your car. Most of you don't even have to pull your key. All you women got your little key in your purse. And you just get in your car. Now you just walk up and open the door because your purse is close enough with the frequency and the remote opens the door and you get in and you start the car and it's just in faith. It's going to work. See how we trust in things like that, but we don't trust Jesus in us to heal someone who needs cancer to be gone or needs a deaf ear opened, a blind eye opened, a new heart, any kind of sickness, illness, affliction, back pain, anything, you name it. I mean, it's all there. It doesn't matter. God's got an entire storehouse of parts. Do you know that? I'm telling you, He does. An entire storehouse. And He's waiting to unleash it if His servants will get activated. Today's the day of activation. It's time to move into a new dimension. God's calling you up higher. A higher level of understanding the frequency of heaven. Because it's in you. You carry it. But you got to start waving. You got to get it out of your pocket. And you got to start waving it. You got to start using that frequency. Get rid of your skeleton key thinking. Get rid of your Motel 6 key thinking. You're better than that. You're not Motel 6. You're not a Motel 6 Christian. You're not a skeleton key Christian. You're not even a Fairfield by Marriott Christian. You're a juggernaut Christian. God has created an unstoppable force by means of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon you with His power, you've become a juggernaut for Jesus. Now it's time. It's time to go. Where do you go? Wherever God tells you to go. And I prefer you go in twos. But whatever you do, I implore you on this day to make it a day that you decide, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. As for me and my house, yes, the scripture says, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, I will go. As for me and my house, I will act in faith and allow Jesus to work through me, to perform the very miracles that He wants to perform through me. Because what I didn't even tell you, which I don't want to even go, I'll just say in the next service. Because, I could just keep rolling. It's time to go. Pastor Mike.
Amen. Come on, let's give God praise. So in a minute, I'm going to have you stand and I'm going to have Pastor Danny just pray and activate us. This is a year of miracles. This is a year of a testimony. And testimony's so important because, one, it brings glory to Jesus. And when we testify, what we're saying is, God, do it again. And we created my testimony journals for all of you to get one. If you haven't got one, get one out in the lobby. Most of the things we give you are free. This one's not because there's stickers with it, okay? So you have to pay for this one. But we put stickers inside. And write down the testimony. You don't have to, this is not a journaling journal. This is a testimony. So it can be three sentences of a summary that will cause you to remember what God did. And this year, we're on day 15, right? January 15. I've got 20 testimonies already written in here. And here's the thing. You go, well, my testimony's not that big a deal. You know, Pastor Danny's talking about healing. If God did anything, you know it was God who did it. That is the key to, if God can do that, God can do anything. So it doesn't matter how small you think it is. If you know God did it, then you have the key to every answer to prayer. Because it's about God doing it. And nothing's too small and nothing's too big for God. Amen? But as you go back and you read over the testimonies that you have, what will it do? It'll stir you to believe, if God did it before and I wrote that He did it, you may have forgotten it. Right? If God gave you a home that you prayed for, if God gave you a job, if God healed your headache, if God fill in the blank, and you write it down, now it's memorialized. Now it's written for you to remember to go, yeah, that's right. God, you did do it before. Why wouldn't you do it again? Why wouldn't you? Why would you stop coming through for me? He wouldn't. He won't. Amen? And so as we hear these stories and it reminds us, even if you have to borrow somebody else's story and write it down, if God did it for them, He'll do it for you. Amen? That's what so much of the Bible is. Stories about other people and what God did for other people. And we believe that, don't we? And if God did it for them, He'll do it for you. So let's stand to our feet. Because here's the thing, church. The world is hurting. The world is depressed. The world is full of anxiety and pain. Dealing with all kinds of physical issues. They're waiting to be prayed for. All you have to do is say, can I pray for you? I still, not one person I've encountered yet, Danny, that I've asked, can I pray for you, says no. Only one time someone was on their way to a final. They said, not right now, I've got to go to my final. Right, they're rushing off, and then I'm like, I'll pray for you as you go. And they're like, yeah, thanks, man. But then even after that, one of my next challenges, if possible, when you ask, can I pray for you, is then to ask permission. Can I put my hand on you? Next week, I'm going to talk about the principle of the laying on of hands. Maybe you've never heard a sermon on the laying on of hands. Well, next week you are. Because we are commanded. It's an elementary doctrinal instruction for Christians to lay hands on people. And when we lay our hands, the Bible says they shall recover. Amen? So we're going to talk about that next week. But this week, you're about to get activated. Because we are loved, we are blessed, and we are highly favored. And we need to live loved and go give him heaven. Amen? So, Pastor Danny, pray. Let's lift up your hands to get activated. Come on. There's keys all over this room. You're about to receive frequency that's going to open doors and that are locked in people's lives, in your own life. Right now, receive the frequency from heaven.
Yes, and it is a frequency we can't give you. Only Jesus can.
Yes.
But one, you can stay right where you're at in that same posture, but I'm going to tell you, some of you need to hear this. Pastor Mike alluded to it. I'm going to reword it in such a way that sometimes God, he wants to do something so powerfully through you for other people before he does it for you. I was praying for people and miracles were happening all around me before I ever got healed of an incurable disease called herpes. So I didn't get my cure first. I didn't get my miracle first. I went out and got after it. And I served God with my incurable disease. I was praying for people. With herpes, praying for people. Seeing them getting healed. And then God healed me of herpes. So you got to be okay with your personal affliction for a limited time while you're sowing into the kingdom.
That's great.
So as you sow, so shall you reap. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Pastor Mike and I both pray.
Yes.
For this congregation. These brothers and sisters in Christ, your sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. And we consecrate them to you right now. And we ask that you pour out your spirit on all flesh so that your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. We pray, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall upon them right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that you fill them with your spirit. Father, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge. Give them the spirit of counsel and might. Give them the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Give them a spirit of understanding, God. Activate them, God. We pray right now that you light, turn on the switch inside of them that causes them to go. It causes them to go forth into all the world and preach the gospel and obey and do the things that you call them to do. To not just preach the gospel. But these signs will follow them. We pray that they will speak in tongues, that they'll cast out demons, that they'll have power over serpents, tread on snakes and scorpions, that they'll drink any deadly poison and it will not harm them, that no vaccination could ever bring harm to them, that there'll be no blood clots that result from anything that ever occurs with them. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that no disease will come upon them. That they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.